This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Cottawa, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most sports program, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined this week by Marcus Vanderberg. No Big Nasty this week, but we're gonna hold it down, Brother Marcus.
Well, explain why he's not here.
Well, Big Nasty, I don't know how you describe it, Marcus. He moved into an area that is, shall we say, suspect?
He moved to a part of California called Paramount, and Paramount's neighbor is Compton.
Yes.
So when he told me he was moving to Paramount, I said I'd pray for him because he was living previously in West Covina, which is further out, sort of quiet suburbs, and I guess his job forced him to move out here to Paramount. So yeah, he made the move, and he was welcomed by the locals, I guess, because they stole his car.
Yeah. And of course, my first question is, was it a Nigerian in retaliation? Turns out it was not Nigerian. Wasn't even a brother.
It was the brown man. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Reportedly.
A Latino.
Yeah.
So I guess it was Cinco de Mayo turned into Cinco de Mines, yo. But he has recovered the vehicle, I guess.
I don't know what kind of car he has. I wonder if I should ask them.
That makes me a little nervous about coming out there. Like I don't know if I want to stay with Alfred and his brother.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll be gone by then.
It's like I'm not flying out to LA just to stay in the hood, yo.
Yeah.
Like, no, I've been watching a lot of Good Times lately, and it's like no, I will pay the extra money to stay in a hotel on the nice side of town. Sorry, Alfred.
On a Saturday, too. He hit us up a couple hours ago. See, it must have happened this afternoon.
It had to, yeah. This morning, trying to make sure to nail down what time we're going to record, and before I took my mom's out for a Mother's Day lunch and got back, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Where's everybody? Alfred's like, okay, I can do it around 4. Like, cool, that's enough time to take a nap. I wake up about 4:05. Marcus is wondering where all of the Negroes are because we're late.
It's a weekly thing, yes.
Weekly occurrence. And as usual, I'm the first one to arrive after Marcus, and then we're just sitting around. I'm like, let me hit up Alfred. I hit him up, and then all of a sudden, a couple minutes later, yeah, guys, we need you to record without me because my car was stolen, and they finally recovered it.
And it was stolen from his apartment, I'm guessing. He had to be home, so that's pretty bold.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what kind of system Big Nasty had in terms of a car alarm, a low jack, or something to protect his vehicle and his possessions.
I used to have the club in my car. You should invest in the club.
The club, did it work?
It worked.
The club seems so outdated, though. So such a relic from years gone by.
It also serves as a weapon if you get in some trouble. It's a metal rod, so works both ways.
Yeah, or you could just keep carry a pair of brass knucks. Like who's that athlete we were talking about? The guy from the 49ers.
Culliver?
Yeah, Chris Culliver. Yeah. Remember he had those brass knucks and he beat up the biker?
That's right, yes.
Just carry a pair of brass knucks with you. Oh, but yeah, I feel bad for Big Nasty, but at least he's he's got his vehicle back, so hopefully everything's okay with the car, and hopefully he can get out of the damn hood. I mean, come on, Alfred, you got a good job, man. When are you and your brother gonna move out of the hood? It's like African good times.
Well, they just moved there. So they may be locked in a lease now, but yeah, they might want to see about breaking that lease. At least move to Carson, somewhere a little better.
Oh, yeah. So I can just picture, like, Alfred in his kitchen when he found out his car got stolen. Like, damn. but yeah, so it's just going to be me and Marcus this week. But we got a lot to talk about this week. The NFL draft went down starting this past Thursday. So I had a good night of watching the NFL draft and TNA Impact. I'll let you guess which one was more entertaining. A lot of stuff to talk about today, but yeah, let's start with the NFL. I guess it was a surprise in some aspects, Marcus, but I wasn't that surprised. Jadeveon, don't call me Jadeveon Clowney, the number one pick off the board to the Houston Texans, and they did not go quarterback first. They went defense, and I think, you know, they went with the right pick.
Yeah, it's the safe pick. Earlier in the day, Houston was involved in trade rumors with Ryan Mallett from New England, so I think they've decided that they could get a quarterback if they needed one. They eventually drafted a quarterback in Tom Savage later in the draft, so they took care of a need. I mean, you can always never have too much defense, and Clowney was the safest pick. You know, forget what you heard about people questioning his workability, his work ethic, his desire to play college football. He's a athletic freak, and you know, sometimes numbers do lie when you're looking at college football, and you shouldn't look at what he did this past season as a indication of what he can do on the NFL field.
Yeah, and I mean, go back and look at the footage. Clowney was double-teamed, sometimes triple-teamed. Then I NFL, especially with the Texans, because then you leave J.J. Watt open to do damage. So I think Jadeveon, as long as he works hard and he has the right attitude, and judging by his comments on draft night, you know, he seems like he's got his mind right. I think he's going to have a great career, if not a phenomenal career.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he was the defensive rookie of the year by far. So,
and so then from there, let's just kind of go over the top few picks, and then we'll get to a man who was conspicuous by his absence. Number two, the Rams went with Greg Robinson out of Auburn. The first surprise of the night was the Jaguars at number three going with Blake Bortles out of UCF.
Yeah, this to be Blaine Gabbert 2.0.
It could very well be. Like, why would you want another one of these guys when you've already got one on your roster?
Yeah, well, is he? He's off the roster, isn't he? Didn't they get rid of him finally?
Gabbert?
I think so. I know Henny's a starter, so
I want to say roster.
I want to say Gabbert's gone.
Gabbert's gone.
Yeah,
they've got Chad Henne, Ricky Stanzi, and Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
that's not a murderer's row of quarterbacks.
And Chad Henne will be the starter probably. I mean, this was, you know, this should have been Tim Tebow a few years ago. If Tebow's halfway decent as quarterback, you're drafting a local kid. He went to school in the Orlando area, which is not too far from Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville continues to struggle with attendance. So anything they can do to attract fans and have the hometown kid, you know, come in as quarterback, I understand why they might do that. And, you know, on the eye test, he, you know, quote unquote, looks like a quarterback, and he's at the size and everything. But I'm curious to see how he actually works out in the NFL and how it actually works. If you watched any UCF football games, a lot of their offense was screen based, and so you really didn't get a true test of what this guy can do or can't do. And for Jacksonville's sake, I hope this guy can actually, you know, get the ball downfield when he's called upon.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that quote unquote prototypical NFL 232, but I don't know. I'm not saying it was the wrong pick for Jacksonville, because I do think that it's a good situation for Bortles. Like you mentioned, he's a hometown kid. He has a chance to sit for at least a year and learn behind Chad Henne. But I don't know if you take him at number three. That's my problem. I think you could have easily traded down. As we see later, you know, there were guys that were hyped more than Blake Bortles, and they didn't go to, you know, 10, 15 picks later. So I think if you want to go with Bortles in this situation, you trade down, because I don't think any other team was really clamoring to get Blake Bortles on their roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, you face the risk of Oakland maybe taking a quarterback, of Cleveland maybe taking a quarterback. Both teams eventually did later on in the draft, so I understand why they took it. They probably, if they didn't have the opportunity to trade down, then why not just take the guy you want?
Do you think, regardless, Bortles was going to be the first quarterback off the board?
Yes, I do.
I mean, that's fair. So I do think that if Bortles is going to be the first pick off the board, yeah, they had to go and get him. It's a little bit of a reach still for me, but, you know, we'll see. Jacksonville's in a transitional period, and they can't do any worse than Blaine Gabbert. So that's my vote of confidence for Blake Bortles.
Yeah, good luck, Blake.
The Bills at number 4 took Sammy Watkins, who I think is I think he could be a great asset to that team offensively, or he could be a bust. Either way,
I don't see him being a bust.
I think that, you know, Watkins and Spiller and Fred Jackson, that's potential, especially with a young quarterback. But to me, it all depends. Sammy Watkins, in terms of being a bust, I think it all depends on the maturation of EJ. If EJ Manuel becomes the quarterback that I think he can become, then I think you'll see Sammy Watkins live up to his potential. But I think those two are kind of intrinsically linked together.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with Stevie Johnson, who just got traded, he was able to put up numbers despite catching passes from a list of bad quarterbacks in Buffalo. So I think in the end, talent will rule out with Watkins, and if he's talented, which I think he is, then it, you know, doesn't matter really who's back there. He'll get his catches, and he'll be, you know, putting up numbers. And they took a risk. They traded a first round pick from next year with Cleveland to move up and take Watkins. So we'll see. They, on paper, they have a lot more talent, and actually that division is a lot more talented. New England should still be the favorite, but teams 2-4 will be a dogfight in terms of who comes out on top.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got the physical attributes, and, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and put him in the category with a guy like Calvin Johnson or A.J. Green or Julio Jones, but I think he has the potential to be that kind of game-changing receiver. It's just a matter of, can he put it all together, and can the Bills away? So we'll see about that. Staying in Buffalo, a kid from the University of Buffalo. Was it the University at Buffalo?
Yeah, it's a state school.
Yeah, so he's going to be a Raider, which I guess isn't the best news, but they're going to pay him because he's a top 5 pick, and that is Khalil Mack. What do you think about that pick for your hometown Raiders?
Not my hometown. I don't live in Oakland.
I'm saying, you're Oakland adjacent.
No, that's Oakland adjacent. It's 5 hours from here. That's like saying New York City is almost your hometown. Like, it's a far enough distance there.
You're far enough from the hood.
Yeah. I like this pit for Oakland. They have spent all offseason trying to rebuild that defense. The defense is a lot better. And they eventually got the quarterback in Derek Carr later on in the draft, so that they took care of that. And, you know, I think the Raiders will be vastly improved next year, and Mack will fit in with that rebuilding defense.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy with almost 200 solo tackles in 4 years at Buffalo. I think he's a guy that adds a sense of urgency and intensity to that defense. I was a big fan of Khalil Mack. I honestly thought he could have gone even higher.
Yeah.
But I do think for the spot that they were picking in, Oakland got tremendous value with Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Touch on Oakland. On the offensive side, they traded for Matt Schaub, who, let's not forget, before last season, he was actually a halfway decent quarterback in Houston.
Yeah, like, I think with Matt Schaub, it might be a change of scenery might be the best thing for him.
Yeah. And they also, who did they? Oh, Mojo. They had Maurice Jones-Drew as well at running back. So, also another guy with injury concerns. But between him and McFadden, that's not a bad 1-2 combination. So, the Raiders should be a lot better than 4-12 next season.
Yeah. So then we went to my Atlanta Falcons selected Jake Matthews from Texas A&M.
To protect Matt Ryan, who took a beating.
Yeah, yeah, Matt Ryan had not the best season last year, and I think we truly wasted, I say we, as if I was in the locker room, we wasted Tony Gonzalez's final NFL season, but I do like the pick. Of course, he comes from a great football family. He's got that heritage, and you know, we Lord knows Matt Ryan needs somebody that can help keep him upright. number seven, the Bucks went with Mike Evans.
I like this pick a lot.
Again, back-to-back Texas A&M draft choices, but neither one was who you expected.
No, it wasn't Manziel. You know why? Because Manziel's not 6'5". That's why.
Well, yeah, I do think that that's a very solid pick for the Bucks, who are, you know, going through their own rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, they have Josh McCown now at quarterback, who is a fascinating story. He was retired. Bears offered him a deal to come back. He turned out a string of great games last season and now is continuing his football career in Tampa Bay, and Mike Glennon has been pushed back to the bench. So between, you know, bringing in McCown and now you had Vincent Jackson on one side of the field and you had Mike Evans on the other side of the field, both 6'5 receivers. And then they drafted in the second round Austin Seraphin Jenkins, a tight end who's also 6'5, 6'6. So they're really trying to go the Detroit Lions out of stacking up guys who are tall and just throwing the ball up and hoping for the best.
Yeah, and that could work. At eight, the Cleveland Browns went with Justin Gilbert, the defensive back from Oklahoma State. At nine, the Vikings went with Anthony Barr, a linebacker from UCLA, your UCLA Bruins. I'm just going to attribute every
don't attribute UCLA
California school to you.
Fight on, Trojans.
And at number 10, the Detroit Lions, like you mentioned just a moment ago, went with the tight end from out of North Carolina.
Yeah, so that's what they need, more offense in Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the top 10. Anything stand out to you besides what we've already talked about?
From the top 10, I will say Cleveland provided Joe Hayden some help on the other side of the field at cornerback. I don't mind that pick. I do have a problem with the rest of the draft because the Josh Gordon news coming out that he is facing a year-long suspension next year. Did the Cleveland Browns draft a wide receiver in the rest of the draft? Nope, they did not. So I don't know who Johnny Manziel is going to throw to. Drake, who knows? But they need help desperately at receiver, and they didn't take anyone in the draft.
And speaking of Johnny Football, he wasn't in the top 10. He wasn't in the top 15. He wasn't in the top 20. Johnny Manziel had to wait till pick 22 once he saw such names as C.J. Mosley and Kyle Fuller come off the board. He waited to see, ha-ha, Clinton Dix, which has that's the greatest name in the draft. Ha-ha, went at 21 to Alfred's beloved Packers. And then finally, as if this was scripted, as if Kevin Costner was in the Cleveland Browns war room, and this was a scene from draft day, Johnny Manziel with his little tie and his sad face gets the call. And finally, Cleveland has their quarterback of the future again. What did you think of this move?
I like the move for Cleveland. 22 is a bad number for Cleveland. Brady Quinn, 22nd pick. Brandon Whedon, 22nd pick. But besides those two things, this was a great move
besides
for Cleveland.
Besides the weight of history.
Yeah. Besides that stuff, the minor stuff, it gives Cleveland fans hope. It makes the Cleveland Browns relevant. I'm invested in the Cleveland Browns. I want to see what they do now. The problem is they did lose Josh Gordon, or it looks like they might lose Josh Gordon. So you take out the team's best player by far, probably one of the top five receivers in the game. And I don't, you know, Manziel's going to, if he's going to be the opening day starter, it could be Brian Hoyer. Whoever's back there, quarterback, is, you know, back to square one in terms of, you know, who is he going to throw to? So, in terms of just a spectacle slash being relevant, it's great for Cleveland, and I'm sure the fans will enjoy him.
Yeah, I think in terms of who's going to be your opening day starter, I would go with Hoyer. just off the top, because he did have some success last year.
He did.
And I think you know, barring what happens in training camp and in the preseason, I'd go with Hoyer and then have Manziel backing him up so we can learn. And you've also got Vince Young there for some reason. I ain't mad at you, VY, on the roster, so he can lend experience. And maybe he's there to keep Johnny's mind right and be like, hey, don't do that, Johnny.
Yeah, who's mentoring who? Is Johnny going to mentor Vince Young or vice versa?
Like, this reminds me of that old joke. It's like Dave Chappelle's like, a black man can't get away with not knowing the law because every time he commits a crime, some old black dude hops out the bushes. Don't do that. That's 5 to 10, brother. Like, Vince Young was there just to kind of be that Jiminy Cricket for Johnny Manziel. Don't do that, Johnny. That'll get you suspended from all the mistakes BY has made over the years. But I think the other question, like you alluded to, who's he going to throw to? The only...
We didn't mention Nate Burleson, who broke his arm again.
I was going to say, Burleson's out. Gordon, I don't see another reliable receiver.
They have Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, but I mean, is that what you want to hitch your wagon to?
No, it's not.
But this is an interesting draft for me. I think it's an interesting pick, should I say. I think for Johnny Manziel, I think this is probably, he might not think it, but I think this is the best place for him to go. I think Houston would have been too much of a circus. I think Dallas, much of the same. But I think Johnny Manziel in Cleveland, in that blue-collar atmosphere, it's cold. People stay inside because they don't want to be outside in Cleveland. I think that's a place where he can learn. If he's serious about his business, if he's serious about this game of football, that's a place where he can learn and, you know, not be distracted by the limelight. Drake ain't coming to Cleveland. Drake don't want to be in Cleveland.
Yeah, he won't have as many visitors around, I'm guessing.
Maybe LeBron. That's about it. LeBron's the only star that will come to Cleveland.
When's he have time to go to Cleveland? He's not going back to the Cavs.
I was just saying, like, his mama still lives in Cleveland, doesn't she?
I think his mom's down in Miami.
Oh, well.
Who wants to live in Akron? They don't have to.
Is that like living in lives?
I'm sure it's fine in the summertime, but winter rolls around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, this is a place where he can learn and a place where he won't. Like, the spotlight in Cleveland is not going to be the same as the spotlight in Houston or Dallas or a place like that.
I mean, he would have been fine in Houston if he wasn't the number one pick. You know, no one cares about the Texans and overall big picture in Houston.
But Houston is, you know, quiet as it's kept. H-Town is not some podunk town.
No, it's not podunk, but, you know, the Houston media is not exactly known as, you know, bulldogs when it comes to covering teams. And same with Cleveland media, you know, it's Plain Dealer and everyone else, so
yeah,
anything but Dallas. That'd have been a disaster for Romo, for Mantel, for Jerry Jones.
Oh, can you imagine Romo looking over his shoulder
just all around,
and there's Johnny Football. So, yeah, good job by the Browns. Let's hit some quick names before we end the segment, and I'll get your thoughts, Marcus. 32, the Vikings picked up Teddy Bridgewater. Good move, bad move, surprise?
Good move. I didn't understand all the Teddy Bridgewater hate that has developed since the end of the season.
They build you up so they can tear you down. Cause like,
same thing happened with Clowney, but he managed to overcome his hate.
I'd say about 3 months ago, Teddy Bridgewater was, people were saying he was the runaway best quarterback on the board. And then all of a sudden, you know, the closer we get to the draft, it's like, well, he's got this wrong with him. And he's got this wrong with him. It's like, wait, well, we're looking at the same footage. How do you find 3 different things, one good, one bad, one ugly, on the same piece of footage?
Well, I think scouts say a lot or too much is invested in what they did pro days, as we'll discuss with Michael Sam in a few. But he's someone who had a not-so-hot pro day, and his stock continued to slide and slide. And Minnesota traded up, and, you know, Houston had the first pick in the second round and could have selected Bridgewater, but Minnesota went in and took him. So he could compete for that starting position.
I was going to say, is Christian going to be pondering his future?
I don't know. I mean, the other thing to know with Minnesota is they're moving outdoors this season. So I'm not sure what impact it's going to have on their offense, but moving from the warm Metrodome to the cold outdoor stadium with University of Minnesota, that might have an impact on your offense and how you want to do your game plan, especially come December when you're stuck playing in 0-degree weather.
Yeah. So then let's bump all the way down to the fifth round, where in a bit of ironic justice or poetic justice or symmetry, Aaron Murray from Georgia and A.J. McCarron from Alabama were picked back-to-back. Murray going to the Chiefs and McCarron going to the Cincinnati Bengals, and head coach Marvin Lewis. Do you see either one of those guys making an impact next season, Marcus?
No. I think Murray has the better future. I'm not a bit McCarron guy. I don't see – I mean, he's pretty much straight McElroy to me in my eyes.
Yeah.
So I think Murray has the better skill set, the better tools. He did have an injury he's coming back from. But I believe Alex Smith is a free agent after this season coming up. So he could be someone that they're trying to groom. Andy Reid has done a great job with backup quarterbacks in Philadelphia. I mean, hell, A.J. Feely looked halfway relevant and decent when he got out there. So he's in good hands in Kansas City.
Yeah, he pretty much gave a career until he went and was exposed. My man that was backing up McNabb and Vic season.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, the guy from, I think he played at Houston. Yeah, like I can see him, but his name escapes me. But speaking of quarterbacks and speaking of Greg McElroy, before we get to Michael Sam, there was one more bit of quarterbacking news, and one of us is a Jets fan on this program, and one of us is a Taj Boyd fan, and in the sixth round, your peanut butter got in my chocolate. What do you feel about Boyd going to the Jets and joining that esteemed roster of quarterbacks?
I didn't really care for it, only because the Jets had other issues they needed to address. And Rex Ryan has a connection to Taj Boyd. He was a teammate of Rex Ryan's son, so I'm not surprised the Jets took him, but at the same time, you know, I don't expect much from Taj Boyd besides trying to send a message to Geno Smith that, hey, you might want to step it up because we've provided other competition around you.
Yeah, I actually love the move. I think secretly the Jets have been doing work the entire offseason, which you get Eric Decker, you got Chris Johnson.
Yes.
You know, so like if those guys are in a right mind and Chris Johnson can stay healthy, I think those are some big building, key building pieces. Mike Vick, if you can keep him upright, I think Mike Vick will beat Geno out for the starting job. Or either Geno's going to start the season and he'll fade. But I think one way or another, Vick's going to end up behind center. Taj Boyd, as a guy we talked before the show, you know, I've had a chance to watch this guy from high school to college and all the way up. And I've always been a fan of Taj Boyd. I think he's a bigger, sturdier version of Mike Vick. He doesn't have that explosive speed, but I think he's more reliable. I think he's more accurate.
That's not saying much. You're more accurate than Michael Vick.
Be saying Bill's hockey picks are more accurate than Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Bam. Shout out to Bill. But I think, you know, with Boyd and Geno and Vick on the roster, like that's, I like it because it's not a situation where the black quarterback or the out-of-pocket quarterback is the outlier in the situation, which I think happens a lot of times in the NFL. And it's like you got these speedy quarterback and then his two backups are upright, stand-in-the-pocket quarterbacks. And that messes up your offense if somebody gets hurt. Here, if Vick gets hurt, Geno can step in or vice versa. And if Geno gets hurt, Taj can step in, and you're not. It's not like you're taking a big step back from the kind of quarterback that you had in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, he's the third.
It's like backing up Prince with Morris Day instead of backing up Prince with Tony Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, it made sense. Logan Thomas was out there, who I despised at Virginia Tech, and how he got drafted above some of these guys is beyond me. I just had to throw that in there because. Good God, I've seen too many Logan Thomas 8 of 27 performances in college that it's a miracle he wasn't third round pick, so, or fourth round pick. So good for you, Logan. Yeah,
first quarterback off the board on day three.
Logan Thomas. And I mean, a lot of that's based on size. He's a monster of a man. He's 6'6", 260.
6'6", yeah.
So that's going to get you a long way in the NFL.
Yeah, they'll just convert him to a tight end.
That's not a bad idea. If he can catch, sure can't throw.
Hey, that was my plan for Tebow, and that never happened. So we'll see. Somebody listens to me. But, I've never been a big Logan Thomas fan, even though Virginia Tech is kind of my adopted school to follow in college. But good on you, young man. Go make that money. There's another gentleman out there that is going to be making some money. And I'm sure it won't be without controversy or without discussion, at least. But Michael Sam, some folks thought he wouldn't even get drafted. But Michael Sam has found a home, Marcus.
Yeah, he got drafted, and Twitter was starting to get a bit over the top and annoying because people got on their soapboxes and said, well, why hasn't Michael Sam been drafted? Blah, 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 blah. And I understand why people were upset, but at the same time, it's the people who don't follow the NFL who were making the biggest stink about this. And yes, he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Yes, it's, you know, in the past 7 years, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year went in the first round of the draft, but Michael Sam had an awful, awful, awful combine and awful pro day, and that he was already someone who was in the fourth round area as began with, not even counting the whole coming out controversy. So I think his stock dropped a lot because the way he performed at the combine, I don't think it had to do so much with his sexuality. I do think that was a factor a little bit, but to say that's the main reason why he dropped so far is a bit of a reach, and we don't know. To be fair, we don't know the answer.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, if you have a bad combine, that's going to drop you anyway, and then when you combine that, a potential media circus, NFL teams really don't want that headache, don't want that hassle. But I do think Sam's a good player, regardless of what we saw at the combine. I think he is in a good situation. I really like what St. Louis is doing in terms of the defense. They picked up Aaron Donald in the first round out of Pittsburgh. They got LaMarcus Joyner out of Florida State. And you add Sam to that, along with Chris Long and Robert Quinn. Yeah, I think that's a good, strong young defense. And, if they can keep the quarterback upright. We were talking about that before the show. If they can keep him upright, they may have a chance to do something in a very tough division.
Yeah, if Bradford comes back healthy, between him and Tavon Austin, who emerged, and Zach Stacy, who came out of nowhere during the second half of last season and tried to carry the poor Rams offense, I think they have a solid foundation around them. As for Michael Sam, I said this before the draft, that he wouldn't be on a 53-man roster when the season started in September. I still stand by that. I don't think he's going to make St. Louis's roster just because.
Really?
He's coming into a situation where St. Louis probably has the deepest defensive line in the league. So just from a number situation, I don't know where he's going to fit in with an established group of veterans. I could see him on the practice squad or him maybe asking for his release so he could sign somewhere else, but I don't see him making the Rams 53.
Oh, see, I think he's going to end up on the practice squad. I think if he gets released, it'll be of his own volition and nothing that the team does, because I think once you draft him, you're kind of stuck with him in a, you know, not to be crass, but it's like, it's easier to not draft him at all than to draft the first open the gate player and then cut him.
Yeah.
Because then I think you open your criticism, whether that criticism is valid or not, you're going to have a firestorm, and it's like, I don't need those problems.
And the same people who are complaining today about why he wasn't drafted will come back out and throw a fit about why he was cut, and we'll be back having the same conversation about football compared to how the public perceives a gay player in the NFL. So, best of luck. I'm rooting for you, Michael Sam, but I mean, at the same time, he's really...
Okay, here's the question. Here's the question. Mm-hmm. Next year, opening day, who's on a roster, both, one or the other, or neither? Michael Sam or I just blanked on his name. Hollywood Simpsons.
K-Rhodes,
yeah.
Oh, neither. K-Rhodes is done.
So you say neither?
Neither.
Neither's on an opening day roster. Wow.
On the 53, no. Practice squad, I could see Sam for sure. I think Rhodes is done football, but Sam for sure. But no, not making the opening day roster for anyone. And that's not a knock on Sam. It's talking about a seventh round pick here.
Yeah, I mean, jobs are hard to come by anyway.
Yeah.
A player without quote unquote baggage.
Yeah.
And a player without a bad combine appearance. And a player, you know, he's going to have to work uphill. So, yeah, I could see, I think he'll be on a practice squad. He'll be in the league. He just won't be on the main roster.
And no, not to Sam, but I still think we're waiting for that first openly gay superstar. Jason Collins is not a superstar by any means. No. Michael Sam is not a superstar.
If you watch the coverage when he first came out, though, I think they were trying to position him as a superstar.
Michael Sam?
Yeah, because they brought up the all SEC and all these accolades. It's like, you know, it's like he's not. It's not like Ray Lewis. He's not that type of a player. But I think the way the media was kind of positioning him, they were mixing up something historic with his actual talent. I think.
Yeah, I mean, they could at least point to, hey, he got this award, and you know, the mighty SEC. So it looked good, but at the same time, the average college football fan had never heard of Michael Sam before he came out.
Yeah.
So it's a catch-22.
Yeah, and I do think part of that award, not to take anything away from him, was almost a byproduct of Missouri and the season they had.
Yeah.
So that was the NFL draft. Oh, by the way, it was Kevin Cobb.
That's who I was thinking. Oh, yes.
And, yeah, Andy Reid made him all that money with the Cardinals for that one season. Based off of a few backup games with the Eagles.
That's right.
Yeah, Kevin, the great Kevin Cobb, who currently plays for nobody. I love looking at Wikipedia because they make it seem like teams are just waiting for him. He's an American football quarterback who is currently a free agent. Like, currently since 2013.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody waiting to call Kevin Cobb, man. Oh, sorry, Kevin. But yeah, that was the NFL draft. Overall, I think going back to my initial statement, I think Clowney is, if he has a bad season or if he doesn't make an impact, I'll be shocked. Everyone else, I think it's up for grabs in terms of whether, you know, whether they are starters in the NFL, whether they are, you know, all stars or all pro caliber players, or whether they're out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah, and in terms of just quick predictions for rookie of the year, defense, I'm taking Clowney. On the offensive side, I'm going Mike Evans. I think he's going to be given the opportunity to get some playing time right away in Tampa Bay. McCown is a halfway decent quarterback, and he's going to get the open looks from people trying to double up on Vincent Jackson. So I think he'll fit in well in Tampa Bay.
That's not a bad pick. I am going to go with Jadeveon Clowney for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Offense, normally it would go to a quarterback, but I don't have faith in any of the quarterbacks. There's not really a all-star stud running back.
Yeah, the first running back wasn't drafted until deep into round two, I believe.
Yeah, like Evans is a good pick. Sammy Watkins, if he can connect with EJ Manuel, might be able to sneak in there. But I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with Eric Ebron
in Detroit. Okay.
Yeah, because I think that he'll be, you know, he's got a good quarterback. He's got great weapons around him, and they, you know, 6'4", 245. He's got some good leaping ability. I think he'll be, you know, he's not going to be a Jimmy Graham type of player, but I think he'd fit into that system well. Especially in the red zone where, you know, they're going to double and sometimes triple Megatron.
Yeah.
I think he'll be able to kind of slip in there and you know, be the beneficiary of some scoring opportunities.
That's how Joseph Fourier got all those touchdowns this year. because they doubled up on Calvin Johnson and Fourier, yep. who was 6'7", was wide open.
Yep. So, yeah, so that'll be my pick. And that's a bonus fantasy football pick early on for those of you that are going to be participating in any league coming up this season, since Nasty's not here to do it. That's my lock.
All right, we'll lock it in.
Lock it in. Hear that, franchise? Lock it in. There's your Jacoby Jones for 2014. So that's going to do it for the A block, the NFL draft. We'll see where these guys go from here on out, but it's always going to be interesting in the NFL. But coming up next, we got more sports, more stuff on the ice, on the hardwood, on the court, and maybe some off-the-field issues as well to talk about. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport. Right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Let's go! We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down. The two-man weave, if you will. And we're going to stay in the world of sports, but take it to the hardwood. You know, we go from the gridiron to the hardwood. NBA playoffs going on. Some upsets, some things that we expected. Shout out to the Pacers for getting by the scrappy and worthy Atlanta Hawks.
I told you about game six. They blew it.
Just saying. Hey, it was a good season, Atlanta. It was a good season. Nothing to hang your head about. It's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But, like, it could have been worse.
They lost their best player, to be fair. Their best player has been out for most of the year, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they weren't supposed to. They weren't supposed to even, you know, push it to five games, if you want to be real with it. Like, the Pacers were supposed to go in there and clean house, and the opposite happened. Atlanta gave them a good series, and in one game, the Hawks just outclassed the Pacers.
Yeah.
Which I think that may have been the game where everybody was like, okay, it's time to get serious, and you saw Roy Hibbert, you know, show up and, you know, shut down his critics for at least a little while. But there is one man who I talked about. Was it last week? No, I think it was the week I did the show solo, so 2 weeks ago. And I was like, it would be a travesty and a shame and a mockery if this gentleman lost his job. And this gentleman lost his job. Golden State, we're staying in Oakland, I guess. Because Mark Jackson, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, he gone. The Warriors did not. I guess they decided to part ways with Mark Jackson. I've been on record. I'm not happy with this decision. I think it's a bad decision. What did you think when you first heard about this, Mark? It's the right move for the Warriors.
Wasn't surprised by the move. If you've been following Golden State all season and their rumblings with management and the coaching staff. I mean, Jackson lost two assistants this season. One, Brian Scalabrine, who was reassigned to their D-League team, and a second assistant coach who was fired after he was recording conversations in the locker room. So whatever was going on between the coaching staff and then he and the front office clashed all the time, reportedly. And, you know, look, here's the thing with Mark Jackson. People have talked about, and you yourself, you said, oh, it's a tragedy, he was fired. But if you work for a company and the person at the top doesn't care for you, it doesn't matter who around you supports you. It doesn't matter if your manager supports you. It doesn't matter if your player supports you. If the man up top doesn't like you and if you have issues with them, then they have every right to fire you. That's just sort of the way this world works. And, you know, whatever the issues was, whatever issues Mark Jackson had with the front office, we don't know the full details, but it doesn't surprise me. And let's look at George Karl. George Karl was the coach of the year two seasons ago. He got fired by Denver. And I don't remember seeing people crying out for George Karl for getting fired after winning the Coach of the Year award. So why people all of a sudden are so affected by Mark Jackson getting fired, I'm just not really feeling it.
See, to me, I think this is a situation where, you know, it's not performance-based, because I also think this is a situation we may see repeated in California in the NFL with San Francisco, where you have a guy that is coaching his team to success, but because of his own ways and his feelings with bumping heads with management, he may end up losing the
job.
And
will anyone cry for Jim Harbaugh? No.
No, because Harbaugh is kind of a dick.
Well, I mean, Mark Jackson could be a dick for all we know. We don't know. I mean,
absolutely, he could be. But I think when you look at that team and the way, you know, it's entertainment. And I think the way that Mark Jackson's been framed as, you know, this hard old school coach that has energized this young team that has underachieved for so many years. You know, Golden State has been to the playoffs, what, three times in the past 17 seasons, and Mark Jackson has taken them two out of those three times. 47 wins, 51 wins. Every year the win total has gone up. You know, I think it's also a matter of expectations. You know, it's Golden State. What do you expect, Golden State? You're at best the third most intriguing team in L.A., I mean, in California. And that's at best.
I mean, they are, because there's only four teams in California, and Sacramento's not intriguing.
Yeah, the only one, yeah.
They had a third locked down. They're pretty much locked up.
But they're not leapfrogging the Clippers. They damn sure not leapfrogging the Lakers. And so I think, you know, it's the prerogative of the team to make the change if they want to. But I think that this is definitely much more a personality conflict than any indication of Mark Jackson's abilities as a head coach.
Well, I will say that his offense was a shit. If you watched Golden State more than once, they ran no offense. The offense was the Will Smith offense in the Fresh Prince. Give the ball to Will Smith and get out the way. It was give the ball to Stephen Curry and get out the way. That was the offense.
Yeah.
If you saw what the Clippers were able to pull with Chris Paul, the Clippers ran a set offense. And, you know, Chris Paul, a year ago, didn't run an offense because Vinny Del Nero was a coach, and another coach who just, yes, he won games, but, you know, when you look at the X's and O's, what was he really doing? And that's why, you know, when Vinny Del Nero got fired, no one really decided to make a big stink out of it, because
I thought Vinny got a raw deal.
Oh, please. He was fucking
poor,
terrible.
Poor Vinny, man.
No, whatever. That's why, and that's why you haven't heard his name mentioned since, because the man wasn't a good coach. And
hey,
This was Mark Jackson's first coaching gig, and yes, he needs time to develop and grow, but I think Steph Curry saved him and that franchise a lot. You know, I think he can credit a lot of those wins based on the team he had around him. And as for expectations, I think when they went all in on Andre Iguodala and traded so much of their assets and so much of their trade pieces to get this guy, I think the expectations were at a level that was probably unfair to not only Jackson but the rest of the team, because when you look at the roster, they weren't that good. They shouldn't have been this good.
They had no depth. That was a big thing that we saw, especially in that Clippers series, the depth and the bench for the Warriors. And the other thing is, you know, even as good, like, I think if you could have that Warriors team with that roster as good as they were going to be, they're still, at best, I think, the third or fourth best team in the West.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, they didn't have Andrew Bogut in the playoffs, who was their big man, who was often injured. But when you're facing a team with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, you could use all the interior help as you can get. So they were just in a bad situation from the start. And as for, you know, Jackson and Joe Lacob, the owner of the Warriors, it's one of those things. You can't clash with people at the very top and expect to keep your job. You know, if I get into an argument with Marissa Mayer at my job, I'm not gonna have a job. It's just the way it works. It doesn't matter how great my work is and how great my manager loves me, but, you know, if you piss off the wrong person, then you're going to get fired.
She'll be like, Deborah Lee told me about you.
Yeah.
You're up it in. I think they do have the prerogative to make the change if they want to. I think Jackson's not going to have any problems finding another job. The interesting question is for the Warriors, who's going to step in and fill those shoes. Lionel Hollins out there. Mike D'Antoni has been rumored. And Steve Kerr, who has all of a sudden become the greatest coach to never coach because the Knicks were apparently interested in him and the Warriors now interested in him. Where do you think that the Warriors will go to fill this vacancy?
It won't be Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr will go to New York. It's just a matter of whenever the playoffs are over, he can officially negotiate and deal with that. But he's not going to Golden State. You know, the reason you're hearing Steve Kerr's name is it's all leverage. You know, it's the same reason why when you are shopping around other job offers, you have multiple offers and you go off the best. You try to raise up the price. And by having all these vacancies and having his agent toss out his name out there, then it's going to raise the price that New York's going to have to pay to sign this guy. So I think Kerr goes to New York. I'm not sure where Golden State goes for the next coach. I really have no insight on what they might do, but it won't be Steve Kerr.
Yeah, won't be Steve Kerr, but
D'Antoni.
I was gonna say D'Antoni.
No,
something like D'Antoni is just the solution because Golden State has such explosive offensive weapons, or at least one in particular in Steph Curry. But it's like for what all of what you can say about Mark Jackson, I think the one thing that he did add, as pitiful as it may have been at times, was he added a sense of toughness and defense to Golden State that I don't think was there before. And D'Antoni is the opposite of that.
Yeah, you don't want any parts of D'Antoni touching your team.
Unless you have Steve Kerr from 10 years ago running point.
Yeah.
And they don't.
But I see Mark Jackson not coaching this year. I see him doing TV.
Yeah, he's very good on TV. I think I'm trying to think of a team out there that would be a good fit for Mark Jackson. And it's kind of hard because any team that he would go to would be a team that is terrible because those are the teams that are going to have the vacancies.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers, but the Lakers aren't going to touch him. So.
Yeah. I think he would be a good fit with a team like Charlotte, but I don't think you can fire the head coach, especially after the run they had in the playoffs with the Bobcats. I'm trying to think any other spots. I think it might be smart for him to take a year off just for leverage's sake, like you mentioned, because the openings, there may be better openings a year from now.
Yeah.
So that is the NBA and the fight that Mark Jackson was involved in. There was another fight last week out in Vegas, and no, we're not talking about Big Nasty getting roughed up by Jabbar security. We're talking about Mayweather Madonna, and they had a moment, Marcus.
It was a much better fight than people thought. It wasn't as close as people thought, too. A lot of people thought Marcos Maidana won that fight, but
No. He
did not win that fight. If you watch the fight and, if you look at the numbers and you see how many punches he actually landed, Mayweather outlanded Maidana despite throwing way less punches. So, he's the best defender in the sport for a reason, and on Saturday he proved why he is.
Yeah, I think people are more reacting to Floyd actually getting hurt. And, seeing the physical damage that...
He's not hurt. I mean, you talk about
I think
the cut was a headbutt, though.
But it's kind of like when we've seen Superman bleed almost to an extent. Like, we never see Floyd get nicked up, regardless of whether it was a punch or a headbutt or the spear that we saw a little bit later on in the fight.
Yeah.
Like, I think just that image, and I think that kind of leads people to say, when you see Floyd kind of breathing a little bit heavier or walking a little bit, more pronounced, they're like, oh, man, that Madonna must be putting work on him. But that doesn't mean that he was winning the fight. And I think it was close. I think they had the right decision, the majority decision that Floyd got. But I think there will be a rematch. But sometimes people talk their way out of money. And
Yeah, boy, he just ran his mouth, didn't he? It's like, dude, just
sometimes
shut up.
You got to know when to shut up to protect your money.
Yeah, he might have talked himself out of the rematch just from his post-fight comments alone.
Yeah, Madonna talking about Floyd was running and a coward, and that's like, come on, man. So where were his handlers? Where were the people in his corner to say, hey, man, shut up. Don't mess this up for us.
That's a good question. Robert Garcia was the main man in the corner there, and prior to the fight, Garcia's camp, or Madonna's camp, had issues with Mayweather because Mayweather questioned the gloves that Marcos wanted to wear in the ring, and Robert Garcia, you know, was right involved and got into a shouting match with Mayweather about what kind of gloves the fighters were using. And also after, either before the fight or after the fight, Lil Wayne got involved with...
Yeah, after the fight. The Madonna camp. Somebody threw a water bottle at Lil Wayne.
Yeah. So it was just a lot going on. And for Floyd to take the rematch, it will only be because Amir Khan can't fight in September because of Ramadan. And, you know, he's used to fighting a May-September schedule. And if he wants to stick with that September date, then I could see him taking the rematch. But otherwise, if he's willing to wait for Amir Khan to be ready in November, then I could easily see Floyd taking Amir Khan next.
Yeah. Well, two things. First of all, you mentioned Robert Garcia in the middle of things, and that, you know, what else is new? Like, that's what he do. That's what Robert Garcia does. But in terms of Floyd's next move, I mean, I think you could have made the argument that the Madonna fight, the rematch, would have been the most attractive fight out there, but I don't know, you know, if that's going to happen. Khan is out there. Do you see Broner?
Broner fighting Mayweather?
Yeah.
No, never.
I mean, because I think that was another takeaway from that night. People were either talking about the main event or they were talking about Adrian Broner.
Yeah, he ran his mouth off again, as he's known to do.
Yes. And I can beat an African, and tonight I beat Mexican.
I just beat the fuck out of a Mexican, and it was just like, oh, of all the weekends to run your mouth about beating at Mexicans.
On Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
And then said Mexicans got mad and stole Alfred's car.
And he was suspended by the WBC as a result until he
apologizes.
Clarifies what he meant or apologizes.
What do you mean clarify?
That's what I said too. And I was like, what don't you understand about what he said? He said he beat up a Mexican.
And I beat a Mexican.
End of clarification. Now just suspend him for not apologizing. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's never a dumb moment when the money team is involved. And real quick, we didn't even touch on the Nelly song. Have you heard that Nelly diss track?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. We might have to play it. I might have to play it for you and then bring it back. We might have to bring that back for segment four.
Okay.
The Nelly Floyd Mayweather diss track. Yeah, matter of fact, that's what we're going to do. So that's a hook to keep you guys listening. But, yeah, so that was what went down in Vegas. That was the big fight night. But there are other fights that we have to talk about. And if you thought Marcus Madonna, you know, was out of line when he said Floyd Mayweather was a coward or a chicken or he ran, just wait till you have to hear what I have to say about the cowardice of the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Ringside Ref.
And now, it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. Head over to Place to Be Nation. All the latest news and opinions in the world of sports, entertainment, and of course, pro wrestling. Place to Be Nation is your one-stop spot for the best in pop culture. And it is time once again for the Ringside Wrap. Each and every week we take a look at the wild and wacky world of professional wrestling. And we're going to start, like I mentioned at the end of the last segment, in the WWE with a world champion who, let's just say he's a fighting champion, but he's also a running champion. And he has a wonderful woman, I'm sure. I don't know her personally, but for all intents and purposes, she is a terrible, terrible actress. And, of course, we're talking about Daniel Bryan and the angle with Kane and Brie Bella from this past week. Marcus, you are decidedly more of a WWE fan than I am. What did you think of this latest development in Daniel Bryan's title reign?
I didn't watch it. I wasn't in the office this Monday, and so I couldn't watch it live. And after I read the spoilers, I deleted it from my DVR. I had no interest in the rest of the show. I saw probably the first maybe 30 minutes of Raw, 45 minutes of Raw. And I forgot what else was on then. I think basketball was on. So I was looking back and forth, and then I read the spoilers and never went back to actually finish the show. So I heard all kinds of horrible things about it, but I didn't actually view it or hear it with my own eyes and ears.
Yeah, it was terrible. For anybody that remembers the angle with John Cena and Kane and Zack Ryder from about 2 years ago, this was worse because it was your world champion. And there is a common theme in that Kane is the common denominator in all of this terribleness. So, you know, just hearing about it. And now let me tell you, it wasn't just one backstage vignette. It was about four or five of them.
Oh. I saw the first one where they were in the room and then they closed the door and saw the Daniel Bryan
mask.
There's
a Kane mask.
Or Kane mask, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
And Kane mask is following them.
Yeah, that's when I knew this was, you know, headed
like,
down.
Is this See No Evil 2? Is this what it's...
Well, he's leaving soon for that movie, so... This is how I didn't write in Kane off TV.
Soon enough.
I know. Buried Alive matches Kane's departure, so... June 1st, hurry up.
Yeah, but yeah, basically the story for those that didn't see it is Stephanie McMahon playing this insincere heel, worried about Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella's well-being, and trying to get them out of the arena because the Monster Kane is chasing, or the Demon Kane as he's now called. He's graduated from monster to a demon. And you see them leaving the arena, and then the next scene, Stephanie comes and there was this great little joke, though, because when Stephanie first knocked on the door, they thought it was Kane. And she's like, I'm sorry, I just knocked loudly. And then when they're in the car getting ready to leave for the first time, she bangs on the window and they think it's Kane. And she's like, oh, I got to do something about these hands. So I don't know if that was like a rib on Stephanie. She's got man hands. But then she gets him back in because she's like, you know, you got a match. So he goes back into the arena. Then they come back out, back to the car. And this time, the car doesn't start because somebody's unplugged the wire.
Oh, and I hate when that happens.
Daniel Bryan, being the great mechanic that he is, goes in and plugs the wire back in. But as he closes the hood of the car, Kane's in the back seat. So he fights Kane, pulls him out of the car, throws him on the ground. And then they, instead of getting in the car and driving away, Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, who was screaming at the top of her lungs the whole time, look back at Kane. He sits up. They hop in the car and speed off as Kane is chasing them on foot. That's your world champion, folks.
I don't want to say it's sabotage what they're doing with Daniel Bryan, but they wouldn't do this. Well, I wasn't say they wouldn't do this with John Cena, but they probably have at
they
some
did.
Point. Yeah, but they wouldn't do this with Austin or anyone like that. You know,
Austin Rock.
Yeah, no.
I don't even think they'd do something like this with like CM Punk.
Yeah, they didn't. Not this bad.
But yeah, like, and so for any, I know I'm the quote unquote TNA homer, but I dare anybody, not saying how they got there, but from the moment they became champions, tell me that Daniel Bryan has been booked better than Eric Young. I dare you.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think a lot, or part of it has to do with the timing. He had the honeymoon 1 week and then the death of his father the other week. So I'm not sure how much that messed up their plans, and maybe that's the reason why they're going back to the Kane match, but, or what. But
I think even not making light of any of the things that have gone down in Daniel Bryan's life, but I think it was a bad plan from the get-go. Like, I don't think anybody was clamoring for a Kane-Daniel Bryan program to be his first title defense.
No, but I mean, based on what they were doing, where would you go? It was sort of stuck. So it happens like
they screwed it up with the one place they screwed up was when they gave Cena the win over Bray Wyatt at Mania. Because I think if Wyatt won at Mania, you could have gone to Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt for the first title program.
Yeah, but then what does Cena do?
Cena, you know, he hangs out, helps the kids.
But Cena, but they wouldn't have Cena take a loss and then move on. That's a problem, though.
Or, I mean, if Cena won, then you could all, maybe they're saving it for a SummerSlam like we mentioned, but they could have gone Cena Bryan next.
Yeah, I think they're saving that for a bigger show than
Payback.
The dog days of summer. Of
Extreme Rules.
Yeah, and one of their big staples. I mean, SummerSlam they're trying to build up as their WrestleMania of the summertime, and I see that match happening. If it's going to happen, if it's not going to be Lesnar, then I could see it easily being Cena, just based on, it was a year ago, right, when they had the match, and Cena was hurt going into the match, and that's when he sort of passed the torch on to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and I mean, you say pass the torch, it was more like a Bic lighter, but it was like one of those Bic lighters with the chain on it that zips back. It's like, I'm going to hand this to you, Daniel Bryan, but it's still coming back to me.
And it didn't come back to him, though. He hasn't won the title since then.
He hasn't won the title, but I'd argue that in terms of perception, he's still a bigger deal than Daniel Bryan.
With who, though? Who's been getting more camera time between the two of them? I mean, he wasn't even on Raw this week, so I think Bryan's been the focal point since that's happened in last August. I mean, they built this whole
He's been getting more, but I'd say since WrestleMania, I think Cena's been in a more compelling program, even though I don't like the direction they've gone with John Cena either.
Yeah, but I don't think it has anything to do with Daniel Bryan in terms of not being the man. I just think that's sort of the way.
I mean, I don't allude to it. I don't know if the company sees him as the man, that he's their champion, but I don't know if they see him as the quote-unquote face of the company.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because I still think internally John Cena is that guy.
I mean, probably. The guy doesn't have a fucking beard that he's carrying around either. So just from a presentation standpoint, yeah, you're not going to have Daniel Bryan.
Are you saying Daniel Bryan's game, Brie Bella, is a sham?
No. What?
You said he's beard.
You said he has a beard on his face.
I know.
No. Stop. I mean, look, John Cena was on The View last Monday. You're not going to have Daniel Bryan doing workout tips on The View like John Cena.
No, and you're not going to see Daniel Bryan doing the Make-A-Wish stuff either, which they had those video packages the last couple of weeks. Like, I think that...
I mean, they had the show doing Make-A-Wish. I don't see why Daniel Bryan would be doing Make-A-Wish stuff. I mean, that part is sort of like, you can plug anyone to do that stuff. But, you know, when it comes to on-camera time on WWE programming, I think Bryan is right up there with Cena.
Bless you.
Are we not alone?
No.
Is Kane in there, man? Did he put a mask on your door?
No, it's not Kane. It's
the allergic monster.
Yeah.
But, I still think that, you know, I want them to get behind Daniel Bryan. I just don't think that thus far his title run has got off to the best start.
Well, you know who would help with that, right? You know who could come back to help with that situation?
Who?
You know where they're going in June. Chicago. Just saying. Just saying.
Starting these rumors, man.
Hey, listen.
Marcus Meltzer.
If it's not going to happen by June 1st, it's not going to happen.
Wait, where are your sources?
Meltzer has no sources, so I'll just make up stuff.
But, you talk about Daniel Bryan's title reign not starting off on the best foot. There's another guy that debuted this past week that a lot of the internet fans were clamoring for. And I got to say, for my first time seeing this guy, it was not that impressive to me. And that is one Adam Rose, who had his debut in a segment with Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger.
Oh, you didn't watch him in NXT?
No, I watch NXT sparingly, you know, when I can. Thursday nights are Impact nights. And I don't have the network yet.
Oh, that's right, but, yeah.
I'd heard a lot of good things about this guy, but from the few criticisms that I have heard was that he's just an entrance.
Yeah, he's not the most talented wrestler.
We got the entrance this week, and I don't think it played the way they thought it was going to play on Raw.
Well, I thought when they said debut, I thought it was going to actually just wrestle and just sort of let him do the entrance and then get a win. I didn't think he would be tossed into a program with Jack Swagger about
deportation,
because, I mean, people don't know. I guess he's being labeled as being from the Bahamas, but he's actually South African, so.
See, yeah, I thought
a lot
he was
going on.
Yeah, see, I thought he was British because he had this kind of vibe of what's the guy that used to be married to Katy Perry?
Oh, it's based on
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand's character from, what was that movie?
The Get Him to the Greek?
Yes. That's what the character's based on.
He's very Russell Brandish type of vibe. So I thought he was British.
Yeah, South African, like Justin Gabriel.
Ah, okay. But so for those that didn't see it, Zeb Coulter was doing this big deal about people they were going to immigrate or deport, and Adam Rose comes out with the group that we saw on the vignettes, including the rabbit,
the Rosebuds.
Yes, the Rosebuds.
By the way, the rabbit was Zack Ryder on Tuesday on SmackDown.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's a funny picture of him and Ziggler and the rabbit doing the fist pump.
Damn, homie.
Yeah.
2 years ago, you was the man, homie.
Yeah.
But, it was just kind of this. He's like, you know, telling Zeb not to be a lemon, to be a rosebud. And then they did the conga around Coulter, and he got out of the ring. And, you know, I was listening to a review of Raw last week, and I guess the NXT arena, it plays better because it's a smaller venue,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to these big arenas on Raw where, you know, if you've got 20 people coming down the aisle, it may look amazing in a small venue, but in this big arena, it doesn't play as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem they've had with several NXT people who have been quote-unquote over in NXT, and then they get to the main roster, and people who watch Raw aren't watching NXT. So some of these people fall flat, like Emma.
Yeah.
Where it takes time and without a proper...
Even Paige. I don't think Paige has gotten over to the degree they thought.
No, I mean, outside of that first night, which is the hardcore fans, then yeah, it's... that's the problem they have with having the show...
And it doesn't help when one of your announcers is the GM of NXT and he buries them every week.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are these guys? I don't know. Why are they here? Like, isn't that... Aren't you on that show?
Yeah.
Like, he should be the guy that is educating the general fan about who these people are and why we
should
care.
He should be the Mike Tenay of NXT.
Yeah.
They should bring him in, and whoever the GM is, if it's going to be Bradshaw, he needs to do his job, then he should be like Tenay did in WCW, where he was the guy who would explain the new luchadors and Japanese wrestling, and he would sort of break it down for the average fan to understand.
Yeah, I mean, he got I'd say Adam Rose got a decent response, and the song was over.
They were humming the song, at least, yeah.
Yeah, it's a catchy song, but I have a feeling he'll basically be Fandango 2014, and I don't even know if he's going to get to the heights Fandango got, because Fandango got a win over Jericho at Mania.
Yeah, I think Bo Dallas will have a better future, and he's supposed to debut on SmackDown next week, so hopefully that'll go better than Rose.
I don't know, is debuting on SmackDown, even if it's a great debut, better than debuting on Raw? With an average debut?
I mean, it's less pressure for him, I'm sure. I mean,
like, I'll say the one guy from NXT that has gotten over, and it's not even a guy, is Lana. She's like the one person that's over from NXT, you know, and Rusev with his gimmick of beating up black guys every week, because he beat Kofi again on SmackDown. Like, well, Lana's the one that's over.
I mean, any hot woman gets over in wrestling. That's sort of the way it goes. But yeah, she's got her own entrance music for 5 seconds, and then she introduces Rusev, who's now from Russia, I guess.
Yeah.
He's no longer... He lost his first name, and he changed his country that fast, so...
Like, yeah, this Bulgarian thing's not working out.
Yeah, let's just go communist.
How long before he starts coming out with the old Ivan Volkov outfit?
That'd be so good. The flag in the ring.
Yeah, he starts singing the national anthem. But yeah, I got to say, like I said, I think Rose is, he's got a shot. I haven't seen much of his in-ring work, and you're saying he's not?
Not special, no.
Is he better than Fandango?
I would say no, because I think Fandango takes more risk. Yeah. In the ring. He's got more of an offense than Adam Rose.
Yeah, so yeah, he may end up being just an entrance.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but, you know.
It's still better than, what's his face?
Still better than JTG, damn.
Black Power Ranger.
Xavier Woods.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just go back real quick. You got Xavier Woods, Rusev, Paige, Emma, Adam Rose. I'd say outside of Bray Wyatt, definitely, and Lana maybe. Not a good record so far for the NXT call-ups.
No, that's not true. You're missing the Shield.
The Shield and Big E.
The Shield, Wyatt, I mean, six people right there
We'll see about Big E. Like, Big E, I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Big E right now.
There's a funny video on his Instagram with Big E, and it's Boyz II Men. He's at Boyz II Men in the background. It's him with the Intercontinental title. What's the Boyz II Men song?
It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
Yes. It's hilarious, and that's what I want to see on TV. He's a hilarious guy when he's not forced to do his whatever gimmick he has now when he comes to speaking. But he's hilarious, and eventually they should let him be himself, and he'll have a better shot of getting over the fans.
Was he one of Triple H's boys? I know Sin Cara, the original.
No,
Sin Cara.
John Cena.
He's got one of Cena's boys.
Yeah.
You think they'd take better care of him?
Well, I saw somewhere that Cena wants to have a program with him at some point in the summer.
Okay. That could definitely be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I think Big E is a guy that, and it's not just because he's black. I think if Big E was white, you know, and was being booked the same way, I think it was a waste. Because you got a guy that has a personality, a guy that's pretty agile for a big dude. And he's got the look that Vince and Triple H and those guys in the upper echelons of the WWE seem to like. But for whatever reason, you know, they were hot on him, you know, last year in the fall. And then they just, like, he didn't even have a singles match on WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, he did not. He was in the Battle Royal.
The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Yeah. So poor Big E. But before we get out of here, there is always an opportunity for black guys. And that's with your newly healed director of wrestling operations and TNA MVP. We talked about it a little bit last week, but this week on Impact was the actual heel turn and, you know, beat down Eric Young. It was one of the few things that the crowd actually popped for.
Yeah, this crowd, I saw that segment. And first off, they're leaving the Impact Zone. It seems like after today, this is it for them. So.
I think the series of tapings that weekend will take them up through the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they tape through June, and then they
go on the road.
Show in Pennsylvania where they're doing tapings, and then in New York. And then after that, they're homeless. It sounds like they're not going back to Orlando anytime soon. So if you want to host TNA Impact, give Ditsy a call.
I got a space in the backyard. I think we can fit a ring there.
It would draw more than what they draw at the Impact Zone.
It'll be at least me. I'll be there.
Yeah. You can call the matches.
Yeah. No need for Taz can stay home.
Yeah.
Save on some of the costs. But I do think that as much as this is a kind of ridiculous storyline, because MVP is going to be at least somewhat aligned with Dixie, I do think that it's a good look heading into New York, because I think MVP on the microphone, and, you know, I haven't read ahead with the spoilers, but I think, I don't know. I think, how much do you think there's a chance they put the belt on?
On MVP?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the EY, they've been doing a good job booking EY strong, but, I mean, it's not like he's lighting the world on fire in terms of ratings or revenue.
Yeah.
Like, I could easily, if they went so far to switch Magnus to EY that quickly, I could see them switching to MVP at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the title means nothing, so might as well. Hey, title. I mean, well, that match hasn't happened yet, so he's currently the champion. And
I mean, it's a better story to have EY Chase or Bobby Roode Chase or whoever's going to be the babyface that's going after MVP.
Yeah.
I think it's a better story than MVP and the group of black guys, you know, trying to go after the champ. You know, you can kind of have that dynamic with Sting and the Horseman with Bobby Roode as your newly minted babyface, I guess.
Yeah, that just means a convoluted title match, and they were doing so well. They had a match where it was a clean match, no interference, nothing, and I just don't see MVP beating Eric Young clean, so that just means he'll have interference, and we're back to square one with them.
Yeah, but in this case, it would make sense, though, if it's just for that one match where you get Kenny King.
It's never just for one match. It's a steel cage match, by the way. That's what they decided on in the taping, so it'll be a cage match.
Oh, then nobody can get in, as we saw with that Cena Wyatt match. Nobody can get in the steel cage.
No one.
Nobody, except for a little kid.
Yeah. By the way, you know who the kid is, right?
Oh, yeah, it's Jameson's son.
Jameson's son, who was also in the Cam Newton commercial.
Really? That's the same kid?
The Play 60, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm just warming up my arm?
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, snap. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, good job, little Jameson. You're making that paper. He's had a better run in the WWE than his dad did.
Oh, for sure.
Already, just after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's the ringside wrap. One more quick thing. Chris Sabin no longer with TNA. He's a free agent now. Not even a year after his title reign. So it's not a shock because TNA is all about cutting costs, but you know, it is kind of surprising that a guy that was your world champion and a guy that is the real-life boyfriend of Velvet Sky who's on the roster, like, they just kicked him to the curb like that.
We just talked about last week the dwindling number of people on the TNA roster, and they, not only did they lose Saban, but Kurt Angle legitimately had surgery. He had for a torn ACL, so you can cross Angle off the list, and his contract's up in the fall, so there's a good shot he's done with TNA as well. Yeah.
So the one thing I'm kind of hoping for, and again, maybe it's wishful thinking, is whether it's in ROH, in New Japan, or Global Force, we get a Motor City's Machine Guns reunion.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. Shelley's out there somewhere probably doing indie stuff, so.
Yeah, and I think either, you know, both guys are good, but I think the whole is better than the sum of the parts with that team.
Yeah, I never viewed Saban as a singles.
No, if there was going to be a singles guy out of that team, Shelly would have been the guy because I think he's got more personality.
Yeah.
But even still, I think they're both better off in the tag team. Had that great series with the Beer Money.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, if like I said, if ROH or anybody like that can sign them as a team, that would be worthwhile investment. Get on it. Get on that Court Bauer before Jeff Jarrett scoops them up. So that is going to do it for the ringside wrap for this week. Coming up next, segment 4, where we've got a lot of great things to talk about, including a music review from one Marcus Vandenberg.
It'll be short.
Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after the break.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Nate and Marcus holding things down. Ready to close up shop for yet another week. But Before we do that, we have to end things off the way we do each and every episode, and that is with the often imitated but never ever duplicated segment four, our weekly trip into the world of ratchetness and the world of sports and pop culture and general entertainment. And we got three crazy stories for you this week. And this first story is something that Marcus just brought to my attention before we started recording. I have not seen the footage yet. Figured we waiting. Me and the folks at home, maybe, you know, we could do like a shared experience together. You guys can log on to this site and we'll both watch it together at the same time, so you can get a genuine reaction. But what's going on with Kenny Britt, Brother Marcus?
Yeah, so Kenny Britt, wide receiver / troublemaker, is back in the news. And, wow, yeah. So, there is a video released, or he released himself on Instagram, of him having sex with his wife. And somehow he recorded this, and it ended up on Instagram. And let this be a lesson, boys and girls. Don't upload the stuff. They actually don't record it, because it somehow it's going to find itself on the web. And you'll claim it, your phone was hacked, or who knows what. But I will say this, at least it was his wife and not someone else, because that'd have been bad. But yeah, so.
Yeah, the website is sportsgrid.com, and I guess they got the video sports online.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to press play right now and look at do we know her name, the wife's name?
No, do not.
All right, so I'm gonna hit play right now, and I'm watching the Kenny Britt sex video. And here we go. Oh, wait, where did it go?
It's Instagram. It's only, 15 seconds?
Oh, that's right. Instagram is 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
First of all, never, like you mentioned, never good to film this or upload this. But second of all, if you're going to do it, do it professionally.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I need better lighting. I need better angles. The wife's performance was good. I enjoyed the eye poppies. She was enthusiastic. Her performance was more believable than Brie Bella's on Monday Night Raw. But, like, what, why? Like, why? That's the big question. Why?
Not only that, it takes several steps for a video to get up on Instagram. It's not like he just butt dialed and somehow this video was attached to a tweet. No.
Hey, maybe he did. We didn't see the rest of the
footage. You gotta put a filter on. You gotta, like, tag stuff. It's just, like, it's a lot of work to get this video up. He went out of his way to do this.
He woke up that morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to put a 10-second clip of me and my wife having sex on Instagram. Like, they made a day out of it.
Yeah. Happy Saturday. Happy draft day.
Oh, man. Kenny Britt. Wow. Yeah. I mean, like you said, at least it's his wife and not some strange, loose woman that would end up suing him.
So that's how, well, like, that's speaking to Adrian Broner. He's being sued by a woman. He released a threesome tape, I want to say either this year, actually last year, and one of the women in the tape is now suing him as a result, so don't do that.
And after he got finished, he was like, that's another win for the can man. Mm-hmm. I had sex with an African, with a Mexican. Kenny Britt. Let's take a look at, okay, his spouse is named Sabrina.
Okay.
Sabrina Britt. Lovely woman. Lovely family. The picture that was on Sports Grid Online has them with their daughter in the car.
Yeah, that's how you make kids, boys and girls. You do stuff like that and babies come out.
She kind of looks like Stacey Dash a little bit.
Mm.
Slightly. No, I'm looking at more close up pictures. She kind of looks like Layla.
Like who?
Layla.
Oh, like the wrestler Layla?
Yeah. She kind of looks like Layla from the WWE mixed with Stacey Dash. Oh, Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
But I mean, does this play into our previous conversation about the draft with the Rams? Is this going to cause any distractions for the St. Louis Rams between Kenny Britt and Michael Sam?
Now let this be a Michael Sam tape, and then
The Michael Sam tape.
The internet would shut down, and people would say how disgusted they are about having to watch this filth. But Kenny Britt does it in. Oh, that's just Kenny Britt being Kenny Britt.
Michael Sam tape. Like, is that Hollywood Simpson? I don't know. You never know, boo. Oh, but yeah, Kenny Britt, he's always been, to me, he's always kind of been like the guy that is kind of your textbook example of when does talent trump trouble?
Yeah.
Because he does have talent. He is a capable NFL wide receiver, but he's also a knucklehead.
He's a big time knucklehead.
So yeah, do you see any fallout from this other than, you know, people just saying, oh, that's Kenny being an idiot?
Nah, I don't see anything coming from this.
Maybe another baby.
Yeah.
Check back in
9 months, we'll see. Call him Instagram.
This is my daughter, Instagram. Mm-hmm. What Herman Edwards would say, don't press send.
Yeah. And you play to win the game.
Oh, man. Good for you, Kenny Britt. Happy Mother's
Mrs. Britt, yeah. We all got a dual teacher. Yeah. From the back.
Yes, we did. At least they have a good marriage. We know her husband's behind her.
Yeah.
100%. Well, let's go from that relationship to another relationship or former relationship. And we mentioned it earlier, talking about the fallout from the Mayweather-Madonna fight. Nelly. You all right there, Marcus?
Yep. Just the last fell over. It's all right. It didn't break.
Okay, what you got going on over there? You ain't shooting a video, are you?
Nope.
It's gonna show up at kingsofsport.com. It may give us more traffic.
Yeah.
The Marcus Vandenberg sex tape.
No.
Anyway, the Nelly and Floyd Mayweather. That's what we were talking about. Nelly and Floyd Mayweather, of course, had a war of words back and forth last week, and it culminated on Monday with Nelly dropping a hot single called Thanks to My Ex, where Nelly and Miss Jackson, what's her first name?
Chantel
Jackson. Nelly is talking about how thankful they are to be together, because if it wasn't for Nelly dealing with Ashanti and Chantel dealing with Floyd Money Mayweather, they would have never found each other. It's a beautiful love song, Marcus.
Why is he trying to... First of all, why is he going after Floyd? That just seems like a bad idea. Because I wouldn't be worried about Floyd. I'd be worried about Floyd's people coming after me.
Yeah.
The guy who holds the money, he's got people too. So... Second of all, like, why is he going out of his way to release a diss track? Like an R&B auto-tune diss track?
For those of you that haven't heard, real quick, we're going to play you a little snippet right quick, right now, just because, you know, I don't think our words can do this song justice, Marcus.
Yeah.
So, let me set it up, and we'll come back on the other side and give our thoughts. But for those of you out there, let me get to my old radio DJ voice. You're listening to WACK, Whack Records, Whack FM, and this is the latest from Nelly. Thanks to My Ex on the Kings of Sport.
It's his bad you found a new lover. It's her fault I'm looking for another. It ain't our problem, girl. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Oh, lucky for us. Oh, see, we got it all. Oh,
the end. I'm glad he lied to your face. I'm glad she made those mistakes. Cause you wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't be here now. We wouldn't be here now. Thanks to your ex. Thanks to my ex. Thanks to your ex. Thanks to my ex. Cause you wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't be here now. We wouldn't be here now. If it wasn't for the ex.
It's his bed, he was out wildin'. It's her fault, she can't stop smiling.
So that was just a snippet, just a taste of Thanks to My Ex.
Just enough.
I didn't want to give him the whole thing because you got to pay for quality music like that, Marcus. You got to go to iTunes and give Nelly 99 cents for that.
He didn't actually release that on iTunes, did he?
Not yet, but it. I don't think, I mean, have you known Nelly to pass up a buck?
That's true, but there's the first time for everything, and that should be this song because yikes. Why?
And like you were saying, it's not even a rap diss track. This is Nelly doing his best Drake impression. That would have made it better if Drake could come on and sing the hook.
It'd have been better, but even if you're Miss Jackson, why would you want Nelly to, you know, put your business out there like that even more?
Yeah. Some of the great lyrics. It's his bad, he was out wilding. Her fault, you can't stop smiling. He lost your heart and I found it. It's her fault, tears are drowning.
Poetic.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. It's his bad, you found a new lover. First of all, that's a kind of a backhanded compliment to his girl, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're essentially calling her trash.
Your money's trash.
Yeah.
But you're my treasure, girl. You're my treasure. I don't care if I found you on the side of the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a good look. Like, Nelly, I guess he came out and he was upset that Floyd had said that they used to be friends, and he's like, man, I've never been invited to Floyd's house. I've never hung out with Floyd, but Ashanti did. And she was at the fight this past weekend, I think.
Ashanti?
Yeah.
That didn't notice.
I believe she wasn't with the money team per se, but she was in attendance. So you can kind of connect the dots from there.
I mean, not everyone can be Justin Bieber. Not everyone can be Floyd's BFF and be involved in the ring walk and all that stuff. So who knows what the relationship was really like between Floyd and Nelly.
Yeah, I mean, this is This guarantees that he won't ever be on the money team.
Oh, never.
But I mean, and just from a musical standpoint, I mean, I've sung a little bit. I put out some records back in my youth, but I never won a Grammy. This man has Grammys. This man has BET Music Awards. This man has credentials. He's got platinum albums, and this is what you put out as a diss track.
But I mean, what else has he put out? I mean, just in general, like, what's the last Nelly song you remember? I can't tell you one.
Yeah, the last one I remember was, I don't know which one came first, but it was either the one with Tim McGraw or the one where he was like, I was thinking about you and thinking about me.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah, and on both of those songs, Nelly was a singer. He wasn't a rapper.
Yeah.
So we should have seen this coming. I can't tell you the last time Nelly actually did a legit, you know, quote unquote rap record would be like Hot in Here.
That was Nellyville, Our Country Grammar.
I think that was Nellyville.
So that was 02.
Because he had the one that was a sweatsuit that was like the double album.
Sweat, yeah. Nelly's trash.
Nelly Sweat. So I'm going to look up, see if there was any, what was the hot singles from Nelly's Sweatsuit compilation album.
He had Brass Knuckles. I don't remember anything on that album.
Over and Over with Tim McGraw was on Sweatsuit. So yeah, that's when Nelly started becoming a singer.
5.0. I don't remember half these albums that he's
Nelly is He's like a poor man's LL Cool J. Like, he's an actor now. He stays putting out records that nobody buys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would say the last good album Nelly had was Nellyville.
12 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, this Nelly chronology is not impressive in the least.
No, it's not.
But yeah, again, you know, like, I have written songs to women before. Theme from last week. And they're not great songs. They're slightly embarrassing. Keith Sweat will probably listen to it and be like, damn, you stay begging. But I'm not a Grammy-winning singer. I'm not a Grammy-winning artist. Nelly is, and he's a public figure, and he's rich, and apparently he's got this treasure of a woman at home. It's just not a good look to put out a single like this or a track like this.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll get a response from Floyd, because what is there to say? You know, he's said enough already as it is, and he's done promoting the fight, so you won't hear from Floyd anytime
soon. Yeah, that's the thing about Floyd. Like, you hear about him in the ramp up to the fight, and, you know, maybe a week after the fight, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll get on. Maybe he'll start a little rap crew with him, Lil Wayne, Justin Bieber, Adrian Broner can get on the track.
He raps, actually.
Adrian Broner?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I gotta hear some of this. Anything of note?
No. But that's what his hobby is rapping.
And man, what are the worst nicknames in all of sports?
The Problem?
Well, the Can Man.
Oh.
Which he called himself the other night. It's another win by the Can Man. Like, really? That's what we're going by these days? So that's what's going on with Floyd Mayweather. But there's more beef from the world of boxing, the sweet science, if you will. And this is a story that I had not heard of, Marcus. What's going on with, you know, when people run their mouth, there are consequences and repercussions.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder is a heavyweight boxing prospect. And there's a guy who's been constantly harassing Deontay online. His name is Charlie Zelenoff. And this guy, Charlie, invited Wilder to come to his Los Angeles gym to fight him. And Wilder showed up, and of course TMZ has the video, but Wilder put the hurt in this dude. They didn't fight in the ring. They fought in the middle of the gym, but just imagine the floor. But both guys had gloves on, and
I was going to say, was it a boxing fight or a fight?
It was a street fight, essentially, what it was.
With gloves,
and actually Wilder, who took pity on the guy a couple times when he was down on the ground, and he could have went in for the kill shot, but he decided to not attack him. But yeah, he got rocked several times, and just what this guy was thinking, I don't know. But
so this guy Zelenoff is not a boxer. Does he run the gym, or is he just going to the gym?
Let me find out. I think he might be like an amateur boxer.
But yeah, this is what Wale dreams about every night. Just flying around the country and knocking out people that talk shit about him on Twitter.
Oh, let's see. Oh, so there's another video from 2011. This guy's like an amateur boxer, wannabe boxer, but there's a video where he sucker punched Floyd Mayweather Sr. during a sparring session, yeah. So this guy, just imagine if Alfred actually stood up to what half the shit he says and actually, you know, put the gloves on. This is what Alfred is. Alfred is this guy, Charlie. But I'll give Charlie credit. He, you know, at the very end, he started to run off because he was taking a beating. But the fact that he even put the gloves on and to challenge this dude.
So I'm assuming this Charlie guy is not a heavyweight.
No, he looks probably a buck 85, maybe.
And his mouth wrote a check that his ass couldn't cash.
Yeah, well, he's at a boxing bots rep page. Let's see here. Oh, no.
Does he have a winning record?
Let's see. Zelenoff achieved minor fame with the internet boxing community. This was accomplished through Zelenoff making various claims about his amateur boxing career, instigating debates on several message boards.
So he's an internet he's a troll.
He's a troll.
That sucker punch Floyd Mayweather Sr.
His alias is Z-Money. Yeah. So.
Z-Money. The Z-Money team. So what's the name of the guy that went down and knocked him out? The heavyweight boxer?
Deontay Wilder. He's the up-and-comer. He's okay. Pretty talented for heavyweight.
Okay. Deontay Wilder, I fought Cyberbully ... to save his life.
He's also Olympian as well, so he's got some talent.
Oh, is this the actual video that's up?
Yeah. You even seen it yet? Oh, yeah. Watch that.
Yeah, I watched one video of somebody getting beat up. Let's see how this video fares. Okay, heavyweight boxer Deontay Wilder fights internet troll. Okay, like Marcus mentioned, they're in a gym and they're outside of the ring. They both got their gloves on and trunks on. So this is Deontay Wilder and Charlie Zelenoff. Apparently, this guy Zelenoff's been getting at Deontay for years, which isn't smart.
No.
All right. Like, if you're gonna be a troll, at least be a be a troll and be a troll and hide.
And by the way, when I say troll, I mean there was also some racial slurs that were thrown in the direction as well. Yes, so he had this coming. This wasn't just you sucked as a boxer. No.
Yeah,
this
was, now I don't feel sorry for
this. This was a lot more than that.
I'm thinking it's just like you suck and
No.
Oh, there was some racial. Okay. Yeah, you deserved it then.
Did you start the video?
Yeah, here it goes. Ooh. I gotta see that again. Oh. And while Zelenoff is definitely on his horse.
Oh, the entire time, as he should be.
And you're right, there's points where Wilder is backing off.
Yeah, he really could have went for the kill, but he took mercy on him.
This is the guy that needed to fight George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
When they were proposing that stupid Zimmerman pay-per-view. Oh! My man, look, I give him credit though. My man, he tried to throw with him.
Yeah, he tried.
Oh, best moment of the video. Anytime Zelenoff gets knocked down, he goes to like the hands over the head position. Yeah,
don't hit me, don't hit me.
And Wilder's just looking at him and boom, tries to hit him with an uppercut. Oh man, this is great. This is great. Why can't we solve all of our differences in the world through violence? Who's this guy that's getting it, that's trying to stop him?
I can't tell if he's part of Wilder's camp or if he's part of
There's like a guy in a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
It's Team Wilder. He's part of Wilder's camp. He's probably trying to save him from a lawsuit.
He's the Marcus of the group, the common sense.
But I mean, could he couldn't have sued Deontay if anything had gone wrong? Because I mean, he made the open challenge.
Yeah.
He opened himself up for it. So Deontay Wilder, 29-0 before this. I think we can go ahead and give him credit for another victory. 30-0 after beating down Charlie Zelenoff.
Yeah. It was a... hopefully this guy learns his lesson because... if I took one shot from Wilder, I'd be out. I'd be done. He got up several times and tried. Well, you can call it try, but...
6'7", 215 pounds, Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that, now that you mentioned he said some racial stuff, I don't feel bad for him at all. I actually think Deontay could have gone harder.
He could have.
yeah, this is a Floyd Mayweather senior. He should have got to beat down just for doing that, sucker punching the old man.
Yeah, you can't do that. Come on.
I bet he wouldn't do that to Money Mayweather.
Nope.
Even Nelly would be like, man, that's stupid. Just write a song, baby. Just write a song. That's how you hurt Floyd. Oh, but yeah. So, I don't know. Is Deontay, is he a contender or is he?
Well, the problem is the heavyweight division is so stacked at the top that it's the Klitschko's and everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, and as good as the Klitschko's are in terms of in the ring, I think they've been equally as bad to the division. Because there's just no excitement anymore.
None. I can't even tell you the last heavyweight pay-per-view match.
And they're not, and they're never going to fight each other.
No.
Like, that's the one fight I'd love to see. But it's never going
to
happen.
I think as soon as they retire from the sport to free up the spot at the top, then we'll see guys like Wilder.
And you forget how long, it seems like they've been around forever. Like, the Klitschko's have had a lot on that division for, what, at least 6-7 years?
Maybe more. Didn't one of them retire Lennox Lewis, I think?
Yeah, Vladimir retired Lennox, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a period where Vladimir's always been the steady one. There's a period where Vitaly kind of went down, but then he came back up.
Yeah, Vladimir won the title, his first title in 2001.
Damn, 13 years with Klitschko's.
And Vitaly won his first title in 2000. So they've been around for going on 15 years.
And they've both got to be late 30s? Mid 30s?
Vitaly is 42.
Wow, I didn't know he was that old.
And Vladimir is 38.
Yeah, I'd say maybe two more years, or maybe three or four more years for Vitaly's the younger brother?
Yeah, that's the one who's engaged to Hayden Panettiere.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a 20-year age gap, almost.
Like 15. She's in her mid-20s.
Ah, save the cheerleader, save the world of my ass.
Yeah.
She was a little girl on Remember the Titans, man.
Didn't see it.
But that's right, yeah.
I did watch Heroes, though.
Which is coming back.
It doesn't need to.
Will you be watching the revived Heroes movie?
No, I didn't watch past season 2.
Yeah. I mean, the general consensus is season 1 was pretty great.
It was pretty great.
And then season 2, for a bunch of reasons, wasn't that bad. I think it was the writer's strike, and it was supposed to be a longer story, and they had to condense it. And then through condensing it, they made everything make less sense. And the seasons after that were in raising quality from terrible to okay, but it never got back to where it was.
Yeah, that's one show I would like to go back and watch at least the first 2 seasons just to see how good it was.
I listened to it. I was a big Heroes fan. I watched to the very end and was a subscriber to a Heroes podcast called 10th Wonder. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get those guys on next year when the Heroes comes back. But the first season, going back, because I watched the first season within the last year or so. The first season, I think it's solid. I don't think it's as great as everybody thought, but I think it was so different.
Yeah,
when it came out, that it was like, oh wow, you know, these are great stories. But I think you ran into some problems where Siler was somebody that should have been dead at the end of season 2 by the latest. But because he was popular and the network was like, you can't get rid of this guy, you know, having to keep to bring that guy back, I think it hurt the story. The writer's strike hurt things. I think they lost sight of what made season 1 so good and so entertaining. Season 2, looking back on it, it wasn't as bad as I think people think it was. I think it starts off strong, and then you can tell the moment where it goes off the rails. And then from season 3 to the end, I'd say there was maybe, there's probably a season's worth of great episodes, but the rest of it was garbage. And like I said, Siler died about six times in five seasons. And yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, I have to say, I give you one time, I give you two times. After that, with the old George Bush line, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, where you ain't gonna fool me again.
Yeah.
Heroes was great, but then Heroes was basically Nelly's career.
Started too out hot.
Two hot albums.
And then you're like, Heroes was on for five seasons? You had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, Heroes was on because it was Heroes and Chuck were the only two shows from NBC that were getting ratings. Even though Heroes ratings went down, they were still getting like the DVR. The DVR viewings, that was when that was first starting to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, Heroes was actually very popular online. So, like, I think that kept him in there, but it was just too expensive to produce at the end. And you could see him trying to cut back on special effects. It's like, season one, we had a man that could fly. Season five, what's your superpower? I walk really fast. It's like... come on. So I am interested to see though the miniseries because I don't know how many people are going to be connected to the old story in terms of the cast or what. But I'll give it a chance. I'll watch the first episode or so.
Well, speaking of Deontay Wilder, he was watching the Areola fight and whoever Areola lost to, I just called him out and just showed him in the crowd. So whoever step up in competition is next fight. It looks like, but.
Definitely a step up from Charlie Zolo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so shout out to Deontay Wilder. And as we end this week's show, shout out to the mothers out there. We are recording this the day before Mother's Day, and I had a chance to have a great Mother's Day lunch with my mom today because I will be working tomorrow. In the great words of Mr. T, you got to treat your mother right.
That should be the outro this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think what I might do, I might even get creative and take the Treat Your Mother Right song and cut it up with bits of his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, that'd be good.
It's Father's Day, it was Mother's Day. On Arbor's Day, it was Mother's Day. On Earth Day, it was Mother's Day. When I was in my mama's uterus, I knew she loved me.
I should have watched it tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you haven't watched the Mr. T Hall of Fame acceptance speech, go back and watch it.
Watch it with your mother.
Watch it with your mother, yes. And it's probably the most entertaining use of Kane in the past 6 months.
Yeah. Great, great spot. Great idea, whoever decided to do that.
So that's going to do it for this week's show. Before we get out of here, though, Marcus, let the people know where they can find you, follow your work, and check out your Instagram to see if you post any videos.
Nope. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can check out Big Nasty, who may post videos on Bleacher Report. You can check him out at This Is Nasty on Twitter. Hit him up on Bleacher Report so you can see his videos, read the articles, and all that good stuff. You can find me on Twitter at N8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Find all of us at Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. And check us out, Place to Be Nation, Stitcher, iTunes, rate, review, share the show with your friends, vote for us on podcastland.com. And I think that's... Unless you got anything else you want to say, Marcus.
No, I think that pretty much covers it for this week.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to go out with some Mr. T, Treat Your Mother Right. But for those of you with a keen ear, you may have noticed the breaks from the show were Beastie Boys tracks. And there was a reason for that. And it was because this past week was the second anniversary of the death of MCA Adam York from the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, it's been
May 4th, 2012.
Yep.
Yeah, so again, Beastie Boys, an influential group in hip-hop, and shout out to MCA, and they were still one of my favorite hip-hop groups.
Love
you can
Beastie
hear all
Boys.
About them. You love the Beastie Boys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that, especially being a New Yorker when you're at Hofstra. That's right in your wheelhouse.
Yes, it is.
Now I'm picturing a young Marcus Vandenberg at college listening to Fight for Your Right to Party.
You're not that old, though.
That's like, you're 5 years younger than me? 6 years younger than me?
I just turned 31. Say 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
And I think Nate is... Not Nate. Alfred's 5 years younger than me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right about in the same wheelhouse. Like, you were... License to Ill was a little bit before your time, but the next one with Sabotage.
That was still before my time. My first Beastie Boy album that
you would have probably been what? Hello Nasty?
With Hello Nasty. Intergalactic. Yeah.
And Body Moving and all that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Great tracks.
Hello Nasty was 98. Ill Communication was 94. I was 11. I wasn't listening to Beastie Boys then. Yeah. Still Jim Rome.
Yes, you weren't listening to Beastie Boys late at night. You're
listening to Sports Talk Radio.
Yes.
And if you think I'm joking, Google my name, Jim Rome. My story will come up from high school that I wrote about Jim Rome. So.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, before we get out of here, an update for anybody that was wondering about the Mad Dog Chris Russo story that we talked about last week. When we last left you, I was planning to call the show and be an irritant or be a catalyst for change, if you will. That didn't happen because, like Marcus said, sometimes you don't want to piss off people that may have, I don't want to be Mark Jackson, let's just say. And, I have submitted my work to the Mad Dog Radio Network. So we'll see if anything happens from it. But seems to be serious about listening and making a change and opening up, doors for African-Americans or other minorities that are qualified. So we'll see. I think I'm qualified, and we'll see if he can put his money where his mouth is.
I will say I know for a fact that they have started to reach out to potential black people. So they're trying to cover their ass. So this is a good time to...
Yes, if you're black and are a broadcaster, this is a great time.
Yeah, send your stuff in.
This is a renaissance. I'm not going to give you the address because I really don't want more competition. But I'm sure you can find it if you holler at them. Which is what I did. I just called him out on Twitter in a nice way, and I was presented with the address.
Oh,
and
good. That's good to know.
Yeah. Because he was very contrite that day. He was like, I don't see color, and, we give opportunities regardless of color. The best person for the job will get the job. So that was like, well, if that's the case, where do I send my information? And he gave it to me, and it is currently on its way to New York. So we'll see. Maybe I'll end up having to relocate.
Not a bad reason to move.
Yeah, and this will be like a truly coastal show, New York and L.A.
Yeah.
Just what the heartland wants, more talk from New York and L.A. God, I remember when y'all used to keep it real, man. But yeah, if I go to New York, I have to holler at you because that's your old stomping grounds. I need to know who to holler at and what Popeye's not to be outside of in case I don't want to get jacked.
I never had any issues rumbling the streets. Or I lived in the projects, man.
I'm talking about that time when you called us, man.
And I was safe then.
The interview that nobody ever heard, which was one of the greatest interviews ever. Marcus was outside of a Popeye's.
Popeye's in the Bronx.
And there was like five police cars that went by and sirens and everything.
I was across from the co-op. Co-op City is like the towers or the projects in the Bronx. And the Popeye's is located right across the street. So
of course it is.
Well,
in walking distance to all you Negroes.
Yeah, but I haven't told you about it.
That's what they said. That's in the advertisement. The towers are Popeye's adjacent.
It is. It sure was good.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I wish we would have had that recording. That was still one of my favorite segments on the show. But that's going to do it for this week. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And we'll be back next week with more sports talk. And hopefully Alfred can rejoin us if he has a vehicle, Marcus.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. And shout out to all the Mexicans out there. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Sorry for Alfred and the Adrian Broner.
We'll do better. Si se puede.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, you're the big my Spanish is very limited.
Oh, and I got several D's in Spanish to the point where I took Swahili in college because I couldn't do Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why you and Alfred have such good communication.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here for before we go down a path where one of us has to apologize next week
or do a cliff language. So yeah, let's do it. Let's end the show before I start talking. Do it.
Yeah, so,
end the show.
Yeah, we're out of here. For Marcus Vandenberg, for Big Nasty Alfred Cunnell, I'm the Godfather named Milton, and you've been down with the King.
Because I wanted my mother to know how much she meant to me. I wanted my mother to know how much that I love her. I wanted my mother to know that I love her every day. And not just on her birthday. Not just on Mother's Day. Not just on Valentine's Day or Christmas Day. But I love my mother on President's Day. I love my mother on Election Day, on Labor Day, Independence Day, Columbus Day, Earth Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Groundhog's Day, April Fool's Day, New Year's Day, St. Patrick's Day, and yes, even on Father's Day, I love my mother.
That's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-D-D-Y-F-X-X. Just left.